गुरुदेव महेश्वर गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। अखण्डमण्डलाकारम् व्याप्तं येन चराचरम् यत्पदं दर्शितं येन
In one way, this month becomes very important for humanity itself. 2006, September, is almost a milestone in the history of humanity. Why? Because humanity is now has a guaranteed development towards divinity. You understand? Every human being now can become a doctor if he wants to read, can become an engineer if he wants to read, can become a chartered accountant if he wants to read, if he wants to apply. You ask it the class in English, isn't it? English okay? Okay, na? The present day humanity can do anything. The only thing required is give the time for it. If you want to become a doctor, you cannot become a doctor in one day. But if you are prepared to work hard, you can become a doctor. Anyone born anywhere, you accept this statement? He can become an engineer. He can become an astronaut. You can go into interplanetary travel. And we have harnessed at least three distinct energies in nature. One is the solid state of matter. Especially we have conquered the metals. Metals do our bidding. Even an iron can float in water because we want it to float. Technically, a small grain of iron can't float on water. It goes down, it sinks. But you can have a mega city on a waters. You are understanding the point. You have conquered solid state. So anything which is solid, you can mold it to your requirement. If you know the process. Liquids, ditto. Gases, ditto. All gases you can utilize as you want to use it. You can use hydrogen, you can use chlorine, you can use nitrogen. We have oxygen cylinders to support systems. So these three are now in our control. The solid state, the liquid state, and the gaseous state. One thing which we have to learn from the rishis of the ancients is the technology. The present day technology depends on high pressures and high temperatures. You can create electricity, you can create heat, you can run steam engines, you can run anything, any communication system, anything. The only thing required is you should have to utilize high pressures and high temperatures. The same thing which we do at high pressures and high temperatures outside our body does it at a constant temperature and constant pressure. Your heart pumps blood. Do you know how much long the blood flows in our bodies? Nearly 6,000 miles, or probably 60,000 miles, if I am corrected. your body has a blood flowing system which covers 60,000 miles and non-stop it goes. The moment you take your birth till you are in the grave, continuously non-stop that small pump pumps blood. Can any municipality for its water system can give you that guarantee with all our modern technology? With all their maintenance departments, whereas you don't maintain your body, you try to harass your body, you try to spoil your body, even then the body is at same temperature and same pressure. Same temperature, same pressure. You follow that statement, same temperature, same pressure. That is yoga. Samatvam yoga uchyate. So if you can do anything at the same temperature and pressure, it is yoga. Suppose you were reading for your examination. Are you reading in the same pressure as you read daily or at a high pressure? So that is not yoga. Don't try to understand pressure as you think pressure. You try to have a sweeping connotation of it. Pressure of anything, pressure of circumstances. If you are pressurized by circumstances, you are not a yogi. If you become heated up because of circumstances, you are not a yogi. And the next step to become a yogi is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Expertise in actions is yoga. The way you do things is not yoga. If you do it skillfully, like an expert, then you are a yogi. These two definitions you remember always. Samatvam, yoga uchyate. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. With this background, what we are going to do, especially what I am trying to do in this world, is a very specific directional enterprise. I want to change the way of thinking of the people. But this is not what I have discovered. It is already there by our gurus. And on this Teacher's Day, let us pay our homage to the gurus, especially first to Sri Aurobindo. Why Sri Aurobindo? He was a man who is completely westernized. He didn't know even his mother tongue. He went to England, studied, and he came back to India, and then at the age of around 20, he learnt his mother tongue and all other Indian way of thinking. And then he was the most dangerous man in India according to the Britishers. Not these Naxalites and this and that. When Britishers were there, the police was very strong, not like this. Just as coming here, I saw a poster, Ram Gopal Varma's picture, something it is there, it is written, Police lay naras thilaute. That's what we are. But at that time, a constable is all powerful. And very sincere. At that time he could evolve a revolutionary group to fight for India's freedom. Not now. Now you can do anything. But at that time, anyone who wants to do some reactionary, revolutionary work is given only one punishment. To the guillotine. Finished. at those times he started his revolutionary ideas. And suddenly he found that to change the planet Earth, not only India, independence not only for India, independence for entire humanity can be brought by yoga. You know that? That is what Aurobindo has given it. Freedom to the entire humanity, not to India. So when Aurobindo started his penance in 1910-1911, India was still struggling. And many of his colleagues blamed him that he has become a coward. He is not doing what he wanted to do. He wanted to make India free. To make India free, first he thought revolution is the only method. Later, in a very peculiar circumstance, he found that no, yoga is the only method for freedom. Freedom for which country? Not for India. Freedom for humanity. Country has no value without a human being. So when you say India is free, it doesn't mean that the country India is free. It means the Indians who are residing there, the people who are residing there are free. You are able to understand the difference between these two. India, it is neither free nor chained. The people in it are free or slaves. So Aurobindo was the first spiritual Jain who talked about human beings becoming free. It is not a yogi becoming free. It is not a rishi becoming free. Many of our old people, when I go to their houses, they ask me, tell me a method for liberation, moksha. Many, when I visit my friend's houses, the old people there, they just ask me, you tell me how to become liberated, how to get moksha. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it. I have never sought for liberation or mukti or anything. That is what I used to tell them. I don't know what is liberation. Then they say, you are a guru, they say. They called you to the house, saying that you are a guru. They garland you, they pray aarti to you. And you don't know what is mukti? I said, no, I don't know what is mukti. Neither do I preach about it. So what do I do? So what am I going to tell you? Something different from what the rishis have told you. Is what Aurobindo first gave to humanity. So on this Teacher's Day, our first homage goes to whom? Sri Aurobindo. All of you heard about Aurobindo? And many of you may be very ardent followers of him. But many of the Aurobindoans, Aurobindo Society people, when I interact with them, I'm not criticizing anybody, you please remember that. But when we talk about religion and yoga, at least you have the freedom of expressing your opinions. Agarbattunda akkadena? Just remove it. Just, it's okay. No, it's okay. Teach him. It is aggravating the cough. I am not allergic to agarbatti, but the cough is allergic to agarbatti, unfortunately. So what did Aurobindo tell? Your entire life is yoga. That is what he preached, that's all. If you want to understand Aurobindo, and if you want to pay homage to Aurobindo, just offering him a few flowers and a few namaskarams is not paying homage. A teacher requires homage. How? When you follow what he tells. That is the real homage. So what Aurobindo told? All life is yoga. So whether you drink a cup of water, whether you are seeing a picture, or you are enjoying a natural scene, or if you become irritated and beating your child, or you are angry with somebody and calling him this, all this is yoga. You try to understand that point. Today what I am telling, if time permits and we can evolve together, these classes will continue. Even if they continue or not, the first point, whenever you hear about Sri Aurobindo, you should remember that all life is yoga. Playing tennis is also yoga. Playing cricket is also a yoga. Talking with your friends is also a yoga. You could understand that point. But how to make it a yoga? Before you understand that point, you try to understand this small anecdote. At a particular place, a very big temple is under construction. So many people are working to construct the temple. So one of the TV channel people put the mic before a laborer and asked him what you are doing. He became angry with the government. He said, to hell with this government, I am a graduate. I have read so much. And the government is not able to provide a small means of food for me. It is not able to provide any source of income from me. Down this government. And I am not hammering this stone. Because I can't, I am hammering the stone. If I can, what will you do? I will hammer the government. Very angry. Very frustrated. Doesn't know what to do with his education. Doesn't know what to do with his family. Blaming everyone, except himself. He doesn't blame himself. He blames everyone. That is one. Then the mic was kept to another laborer. The same question, why are you cutting the stone? He said, I have a family. I have to feed my children. I didn't have any other work to do. Thanks to that man who conceived of this big project. For 5 years they said this building will continue. So at least for 5 years, food is guaranteed for me. Same thing, the first man was also cutting the stone. This second man is also cutting the stone. One man is frustrated, blaming others. The other man thanking for that work at least, because he could feel his responsibility. You got the point. If you are responsible, you will be always happy. If you want to blame anyone, you can go on continuously blaming anyone every time. He went to the third man. He started weeping. Now this TV channel man became, because he was afraid that when this part will be shown on the TV, people will catch hold of him. What did you do? Why he is weeping? So he removed the mic. After some time, that man settled. And then again, he was asked the same question. Why you are cutting the stone? He said, it is a blessing for me. I am building a temple. And God only knows how many people will come to this temple. And they will sit on this floor for which I have paved the stones. It is not the money which is important. I am thankful to that who conceived this plan. All life is yoga. Whether you are cutting a stone or not. You got the point? So what you are doing is not important. What is important is why you are doing it. You are doing it because there is no other option for you. Many of our children, and probably the elders are also in the same situation, they are living in the condition they are because they can't go anywhere else. Is it not, sir? Let us be honest. In whatever position you are, the fact is, you are not happy where you are. Either you want to change your job, change your business, or do something else other than what you are doing now. Is it not a fact? Then it becomes the first case. Only it is a question of degree difference. If you are not satisfied with what you have, if you think that if you change your position, if you go elsewhere, you will be more happy, that means you have not understood life. The second man, he was responsible. He has a family, he has to feed the family. And because he could cater to the responsibility, he was happy. He is not happy where he is. You understand that point? He is happy because he is able to feed. Whatever work he may be doing, if he can feed his family, he is happy. You understand the difference between the first man and the second man? Majority of Indians belong to the second category. Majority of the Westerners belong to the first category. When I say majority, that means majority. That means good people, capable people, yogis are everywhere. So don't label that all Hindus are yogis or all Westerners are not yogis. But you got the point of evaluating your view towards life. One is frustration, not happy where you are. Other, you are happy not because you like the job, but because the job gives you to share your responsibility. But the third man, what is he doing? He is feeling blessed. He is feeling, he is overfilled with joy to have that opportunity. So are you filled with joy for the opportunity of just being alive? Just being alive. Can you feel happy? Nobody feels. When I was in Benares, I had a very peculiar doubt. That doubt is not solved till now. Maybe I will ask that question to you people also. Mathematically, 2 plus 2 becomes 4. Is it not? When you are in your home feeling bored, what do? You go to someone else who is equally bored. Because if he is busy, you can't go to him. If he is in the office or he is working something, naturally you can't go to him. You are alone in the house, you are bored. So where should you go? To another man who is equally bored. When two boards meet, what happens? Either the boredom should increase or decrease, I don't know. Got the point? So all cinema halls are examples of that type of, that's what I am telling them. Really a man who is bubbling with joy cannot go to his cinema hall because he can't bubble there. And now the miniature cinema halls. What are miniature cinema halls?
TVs.
Same logic. If you are enjoying a TV serial other than some Bhagavatam or Astha channel, it means you are bored. You are just trying to waste your time. So these three viewpoints, Aurobindo says, if you can enjoy life, you are always happy, if you know how to enjoy. For this, today's topic, soul and its mechanism, helps you a lot. You are all supposed to hear about soul and its mechanism, is it not? So probably you might have been thinking, the topic is diverted, it is not diverted, I am talking about the same topic, but giving you an introduction. And even this introduction, if you can understand and put it into practice, you are happy, you don't need me or anybody else, you are happy from this moment onwards. Because happiness is not something which is dictated by outside circumstances. You learn this definition first. Some people tell me, if my child gets first class in 10th class, I will be happy. You will be also happy? If not first class, let us say gold medal. Probably you don't like simple first class. Okay. You like gold medal. For whom? For my child. And if he gets a gold medal, you will be happy. Is it not? But after he gets a gold medal, are you happy or you are unhappy? Where to put him? You got the point. If you say your happiness is dependent on somebody else, you can never be happy. Because another point comes. You will tell, you please bless my son to become a... No, he should get a good marks in intermediate. Then what will you say? I have just took him to your residential college. You see, you bless that he should get a low rank, not high rank. కదా లో ర్యాంక్ వస్తేనే కదా ఇంజనీరింగ్ లో సీట్ వచ్చేది, హై ర్యాంక్స్కి రావు. సో నౌ యూ వాంట్ ఎ లో ర్యాంక్. ఓకే, యూ గాట్ ఇట్. దెన్ యూ కమ్ టు మీ అండ్ అగైన్ టు మీ డజన్ మీన్ మీ, ఐ మీన్ యూ గాట్ ది పాయింట్, యువర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. సో వెన్ ఎవర్ యువర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఈస్ డిపెండింగ్ ఆన్ సంథింగ్ ఎల్స్, యూ కెన్ నెవర్ బి హ్యాపీ. ఇంపాసిబుల్. నో గురు కెన్ గివ్ యూ హ్యాపీనెస్. And suppose you don't have any desire, will you be happy or not? Many people say no. When you have no desire, you can't be happy. Now the question is, in the previous discussion I was telling you, if your son gets a gold medal, you are happy. You are happy, you think, because of your son's gold medal. I say, you are happy because at that particular instant you are desireless. You have no new desire. Again, new desire comes. You got the point. You just try to understand it. This realization is enough to make you happy. But then you say, if I have no desires, how can I be happy? Again the same question, the same answer. You are happy because you are desireless. You are not happy because your desire has been fulfilled. You are happy because at that particular instant you have not a new desire. This particular point is what Aurobindo used to stress always. But unfortunately, our way of thinking our way of reasoning, our way of living seems to be very intimately linked with desire. So you can't just imagine a way of life which is desireless. But the entire Bhagavad Gita talks about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Nishkama means without desire. So if you know how to act without a desire, you have become a yogi. So that is the, what should I say, the goal of our discussions or goal of our life, of every human being, to achieve a state where he need not think, but things go on. To achieve that state, another great teacher came to planet Earth, known as Siddhi Sai and Satya Sai, and it continues to Prem Sai also. I am not going to discuss here whether I believe Siddhi Sai is Prem Sai and Satya Sai are one and the same. I don't believe it. I don't believe that Siddhi Sai and Satya Sai are one and the same, and I don't believe that Satya Sai and Prem Sai are going to be one and the same, because I know they are same. It is not a question of belief. Got the point? It is not a question of belief. Do you believe you are alive or not? Or do you know you are alive or not? What is the correct word? So similarly, this Siddhi Sai, Satya Sai and Prem Sai evolution of desireless life you have to follow. So another homage to Siddhi Sai and Satya Sai and coming Prem Sai. Because this is Teacher's Day. What did Siddhi Sai tell? Allah Malik. What does it mean? What does it mean when you say Allah Malik? It says, I am not doing anything. Through me it happens. Through you the life principle is flowing. Through you the life principle is flowing. Through you the life principle is flowing. Through you the life is flowing. We very easily forget this concept when Sai says, Allah Malik. It means he says, I am not doing anything. Things are happening in my presence, they happen. If you know how to live, life automatically blossoms. You need not do anything. A rose, to become a rose, what should you do? You plant a rose tree, it becomes a rose tree. You are following the logic? You plant a coconut. Out of that coconut tree, what comes? The coconut. Plantain? Plantain. You are watering. You are giving manure. This manure and water, is it going to change it? No. What can this manure and water and other things which facilitates its growth do? It helps to grow it in a stronger way, but it will be that. Got it? So that is what he practiced today. Sai said, Siddhi Sai said, I have not practiced any mantra. All of you know about him, no? You know about Siddhi Sai? You read about him? What did he say? For 12 years I have kept looking at my master's face. You hear it, it is a great sadhana. For 12 years, Sai did nothing. What did he do? He saw his master's face. How did you think he did it? Tied his master to a chair and said, don't move from here, I am going to see your face. Not like that.
Then what did he do?
How did he do? That is what Aurobindo meant by all life is yoga. If you are alive, you are alive because of your guru. You please understand this. Soul is your guru and this body is its mechanism. Electricity is the guru. Fridge is the mechanism. Electricity is the guru. Fan is the mechanism. Electricity is the guru. The heater is the mechanism. All electrical appliances are mechanism. And the guru? Only one electricity. So whatever life principle is in the Shirdi Sai or Aurobindo or anywhere is also in you. But the same quality. First you have that as a working hypothesis. Later you will understand that it is right. But now it becomes for you very difficult to accept the statement that whatever life is flowing through your guru is also flowing through you. But the electrical examples makes our work very easy. Is it not? The same life electricity is flowing through a fridge, it cools. The same life electricity goes through a heater, it burns or it heats. But that which is heating and that which is cooling is not the life. It is the mechanism. So, to understand this point, you should understand the difference between soul and its mechanism. We are now worried about the mechanism. If you stop worrying about the mechanism, suppose the mechanism now is not working properly, your scooter is not working properly, what will you do? You will take an auto or a taxi or other friend's auto or something. And when you take your other friend's auto, naturally you will not be as careful as you are with your auto. That is something different. That is human weakness. You can ask. You try to understand what I am trying to convey to you. I am conveying something very serious. If this mechanism fails, are you prepared to take another mechanism? No. I want this. But if your scooter fails, what do? If a new model comes, you are prepared to change. So one of the first instinctual habit we should change is to identify yourself with this body. That is the first mistake which we do. We identify the mechanism as the subject, as the soul. That is what again Shirdi Sai openly talked, even though this was known to all the masters since the beginning. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjana tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, the only difference between you and me is you and I have together taken birth many times. You underline this point, together. It is not that when a guru comes, he comes alone. He comes together. Together with whom? With all of us. That is what I told you. Do you recognize me? It is not that first time we are talking and discussing like this. Many, many lifetimes. We must have certainly discussed these things. If not, why only you are here? Why not all are there? You are getting this to the point. Whenever Arjuna is there, whenever the five Pandavas are there, or whenever Duryodhana is there, or whenever Shakuni is there, Krishna is also there. The group comes together. You always remember this. In spiritualism, in yoga, you can't go alone. You can't go alone. If there is only one student in the class, What does the teacher do? He will take the class or say, no, tomorrow I will tell. Knowing this point, when I was a teacher, the last hour, students used to come and say, Master, idhare unnarandi class lo. You understood what I said? When I was working as a lecturer, last hour my chemistry class was there. The students used to come and tell, idhare unnarandi, only two are there. So what does it mean? We also will go. He leaves the class. So when two or three people are there, when a physical chemistry class can't be conducted, how do you think that you can practice yoga individually? That is another mistake what we are doing. You can study individually, you can practice individually, but you have to learn it in a group. Just like as in education, in engineering college, you are taught in a group. Medical college, you are taught in a group. In all educations, you are taught in a group, including the primary classes, is it not? And unfortunately, we think that spiritual classes can be practiced alone without a group education. You correct this point. You can never learn it by yourself. No science can be learned without a practical laboratory skilled person helping you. Can you? Just yesterday I changed my mobile. And now a message came and I wanted to delete it. In the old mobile I was an expert. Delete all. With this new mobile, I couldn't delete that one particular message. Then there was someone beside me. He said, should I do it or you will do it? I said, no, I will do it. You teach me how to do it. So, to delete a small message in your cell, you need a teacher. And you think you can learn spiritual knowledge without a teacher by reading books? Another mistake. Are you able to understand the two mistakes? You have to do it in a group when you meditate. A group meditation is always very, very powerful than a single home meditation. You always remember it. You are already practicing it. I am just telling you, you are practicing something very great and you don't know how great you are. Sometimes we do many, many great things without knowing that we are doing such a great thing. The group is important. And then also, when you read in the group, you should practice again in the house, alone. This mutual interaction of education, we lost in our spiritual thing. We are completely lost about group effort. We never think spiritualism as a group effort. So this is what Shirdi Sai very specifically told to all of his people. I was with you for 72 births. I was with you for 3 years. You know the story. He announced it. And one more thing, what Shirdi Sai has told and which we don't take proper cognition of, it is, in the scale of evolution, if you are not growing, you may go down. You know the story of frog? They were Shirdi Sai's classmates, guru mates, whatever you call Guru Bhai, co-brothers of the same education. Shirdi Sai became such a great man and they became a snake and a frog. And this poor Shirdi Sai has to help them again. You understand that together it comes whether you like it or not. Your lives are interlinked with your gurus. You just can't say, I don't want you as a guru. You just can't say it. You just can't say if you are angry with this particular finger from now onward to hell with you and you can't just throw it out. Can you? That was the meaning when it is told that you can't change your guru. Because you can't change, even if you try. This point you understood from Siddhi Sai? From Aurobindo, what did you understand? All life is yoga. And all life is yoga means enjoy where you are. And for enjoyment, don't depend on others. If you are dependent on an external situation, you can never be happy, because the external situation will change, if not today, after 100 years. Or after thousands of years. Got the point? The second point from Siddhi Sai, what did you learn? What did you learn? It groups we come. So if in Hyderabad we are here, if you can just understand, every single man in Hyderabad belongs to our group. If you can understand it, try to understand it. If not, we will discuss it later. Because you are in Hyderabad. You belong to that group. You just can't say, I don't care about Hyderabad. Then what did I tell you? Even if someone in the same group falls very, 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 very lowest depth, the group continues. Siddhi Sai has to help the snake and the frog. He can't say, no, I won't. In evolution, because you have failed, because you have become a goat, you know the story of the goat? You know the story of the goat? You know about Siddhi Sai's life? So what happens, once Siddhi Sai wanted to buy 2 goats. So at that time he bought the goats at 32 rupees. At that time. So all his disciples were murmuring behind him. Sai ko kuch nahi aata. 32 rupiya deke kharida. 1 rupiya mein aane wala. You see the human frailty of intelligence. At one angle you are praying him that he is an avatar and you are his disciple. And the next moment what you are telling, he doesn't know what he is doing. And this difference, you understand the point, cutting off your intellectual concept. On one side you are saying he is a great man, he knows Sarvajna, Sarvavyapaka. And the other side, what you are telling? That's a mistake. So another point which I would try to stress is, don't try to evaluate a guru. Don't try it. You need not try it also. It doesn't mean what he is doing. If he is giving you the correct advice, use it. Whether he buys a goat for 32 rupees or not, why should you worry about it? Then what did Sai do? He said, they were with me in my past birth with my guru. So I wanted to help them by keeping me with me, and you people didn't allow it. So many times our preconceptions stop our own co-brothers in this path from coming to you. You will say, no, this guru, disciple, we don't want him. No. Why? Because my guru knows everything. His guru doesn't know anything. So we all come together in groups, and the guru will always be there with you. Even though you fall to the lowest depths of evolution, the group continues. And then there is one more guru, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. This Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, in the coming eras, will be recognized more. What did he give to us? Can anyone tell me? Aurobindo said, all life is yoga. Shirdi said, we come in groups, we grow in groups, and you have to stay in the same group whether you like it or not. That is why he has to help the snake and frog. If not, why should he help them? He said, I have become a master, I am going, I am liberated. Mujhe to mukti mil gaya, tum bhaad mein jao. He can't say that. Then what did Ramakrishna Paramahamsa say? There are many aspects, but one aspect I want to stress is, when Lord Krishna left the mortal frame, Kali Yuga started. Kali Yuga started means people lost faith in God. That is Kali Yuga. When you don't believe in a God, it is Kali Yuga. God, I don't mean whether you pray to Ganesha or Hanuman. You should believe in something divine. Some divine power is controlling us. We have forgotten about that. And you remember that just as you have to eat something to stay alive, the gods also have to eat something to stay alive. We forget about this. We just offer Nivedana to the God and eat ourselves. And if really the God starts taking the prasadam, I think we will stop offering him prasadam. Who can feed a God? So what Ramakrishna Paramahamsa did is, he anchored all the divinities to planet Earth, just like the Reliance Towers and the Airtel Towers. What are these towers? Because of that you are able to communicate with each other. If the tower is not there, so the devas are something like the towers. And because of the lack of food towards that particular deity, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gave them the food, the all kinds of devas. That is why it is said in his life that it took only 3 days for him to get realization of any god. He realized many gods in one lifetime. I won't go deeper into that aspect because my time limit has come. It is 4:30 already, 2 more minutes. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, what did he do? He anchored all the gods on the planet Earth. So any one of you, if you are really sincere, within 3 days, you can have the darshan of your Ishtadeva, guaranteed. Within 3 days. And I can guarantee of a particular devata immediately. You just start it and you will have his darshan. You won't believe it. Kada? You know Ishtadeva, what does it mean? Ishtadeva means, suppose you are doing a mantra, the lord of that mantra is your Ishtadeva. Correct. And to realize and have the vision of that particular deity, you will have to do a lot of tapasya, is it not? But suppose you chant Om Bhurbhuvah Svah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Na Prachodayat. Who is the deity of that mantra? Gayatri or Sun? Sun. The deity of Gayatri mantra is Sun. Unfortunately, we Hindus also don't know that there is no deity as a devi as named as Gayatri. There is no deity like that. Then why it is said, well, let me put some questions in your brain so that later you may ask me to come again and tell. If not, suppose I tell everything now itself. Huh? So you remember that. When you are chanting Gayatri Mantra, even before you chant, the Ishta Deity is before you. Is it not? How wonderful it is. You don't need to do any penance, any sadhana, any specific course. You just chant it, he is there. This particular aspect of Gayatri, life force, is given to humanity by my Guru, Sri Ram Sharma Acharya. So again, homage to the Guru. Okay? And there are few more things which I will tell you. But the point, you got it? Your body is the mechanism, you are the soul. The mechanism is not important. If the mechanism is not correct, you can manipulate it, you can trick it. That is why I guaranteed the child's recovery. Because it is a mechanism. And any mechanism can be corrected if you give time. And who will correct it? Head life energy. If Shiddhi Sai was present here, don't you think that that child will be cured? You are following what I am telling? And I say the same life energy is in you also. Is it not? Then why can't she be cured? You will see how it is cured. But it takes time. So why I am telling it? Once you know the soul and its mechanism, you can work miracles.
So,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Jai Jai.